Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at the parable that typically is called the parable of the weeds. And it's about the wheat and the weeds. And as we look into this passage, first we're going to hear Jesus tell the parable. And then we're going to skip down to verse 36, where Jesus explains to the disciples what this parable is about. Okay? So look at this parable with me. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he said, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And then skipping down to verse 36. "When he," meaning Jesus, "left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into fire, so will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." So we have a parable, and we have Jesus' interpretation of the parable, explaining to us what this is about. The first thing that I want to tell you, though, is that I hope you know that different plants might be weeds. Weeds is a very slippery definition, by the way. A weed is anything that grows where you don't want it to grow. Okay? Dandelions are not weeds unless you don't want them to grow in your yard. Dandelions in my yard are beautiful flowers. Dandelions are flowers that are incredible, absolutely, positively incredible. You know why? Because they come out beautiful yellow. And they close up one night, and the next time they come open again, they're a completely different looking flower. Now it's all seeds. The petals are gone. And at the slightest little breeze, to the chagrin of many folks, the seeds are spread everywhere, right? And for many of you, I know, I can tell by looks that I'm getting from some folks, dandelions are weeds. To you, I can tell by your definition. The first house that Deanne and I bought in Norfolk, we lived on the corner, and the house behind us was an elderly couple that was in their 70s. Barney had nothing else to do in his life, I think. Because he was up before the sun rose, and he was taking all the dead flowers off of every plant in the yard. And he carried around with him a stool and a bucket. And by the time the sun was up, nothing but beauty was in his yard. So you can imagine what his grass looked like. There wasn't a single weed in the front or backyard. Beautiful. Well, his wife, Ann Margaret, one day was leaning over the fence. And as she was leaning over the fence, watching the kids play in the backyard, she looked at me and she said, "There sure are an awful lot of dandelions in your yard." Yep, you're right. Aren't they beautiful? She never talked to me about dandelions in my yard again. But I knew what she was trying to communicate. And you see, in this case, someone went out after the master had his servants go out and sow some wheat. He sowed that, and sometime after they sowed that, someone else went out and sowed weeds. Now, I don't know where you buy a package of weed seeds, okay? Unless you come to my yard and get the dandelions. And then you can have all the weeds you want for all your neighbors up and down the street, I guess. But somebody put some weeds out there. And the two grew up together. And as they grew up together at the very early stages of the plants, it was hard to tell the difference. Most likely, this was the plant called Darnell, is what this plant was. And until they get fully developed, it's hard to tell the difference. So as these two plants came up together, one day the servants came in and said, "Master," they actually asked a very silly question, by the way, "Master, did you not sow good seeds?" That's a silly question, isn't it? What farmer is going to sow bad seeds? Knowingly. And that's what they're kind of asking him. "Where'd you get your seed?" I did know one guy one time that went to the store and he thought he was buying grass seed. And he came home and planted in his yard clover. And he had the thickest clover crop of the whole neighborhood. It choked out his grass. It was so funny. And we laughed because he had bought enough clover seeds to do a couple of acres. And his house was not a quarter of an acre yard. He had beautiful clover that year. And I always wanted to go. And Durwood was a person that I could have gone and asked him, "Didn't you buy good seed?" And that's what the servants are asking. "Didn't you buy good seed?" And the servants have already come up with a way to fix this. They're going to go out and pull out all the weeds. And the master says, no. Don't do that. Because by pulling them out at this stage, what's going to happen is you're going to destroy the roots of the wheat. And we'll end up with no crop. Wow, imagine Jesus telling this story. And imagine Jesus saying that the master said, "We'll wait until it's harvest time and we'll pull all the weeds out first and we'll burn them in a fire and then we'll go collect the wheat." You see, the master in the story knew exactly how to take care of it. Just leave it all alone. Just leave it all alone and let it grow. Well, Jesus' interpretation of this opens this parable greatly to us because he tells us exactly what it's about. And I want you to understand, first off, when Jesus uses this parable, it's about the whole world. It's not about the church. It's not saying in the midst of the church there's a bunch of weeds. Now, sometimes you might want to say that. But that's not how Jesus uses this parable, and that's a wrong use of the parable by Jesus' interpretation. This is about the whole world. And what Jesus is trying to tell us when he tells us it's about the whole world is among the faithful in the world, there will always be evil. Among the faithful in the world, there will always be evil. It's not going to go away. It is not going, no matter where I go in the midst of the world, I'm going to find evil. It's going to be there. It's going to happen. And Jesus says that what is going on here is the Son of Man is the one who has put the good seed out. The Son of Man is the one who has come and put the good seed out. And that good seed is growing in people's hearts and it's coming to fruition. But that Satan and Satan's minions have also planted seeds. And that seed is in the midst of this world, and it is growing to fruition also. If you watch the news or read the newspaper, sometimes you're going to think that all there is in our world is evil. Because that's all they want to tell you about. But I firmly believe, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new in the world. Countries have fallen apart before. Horrible things have happened before. And you go back through history and you can find these horrible things over and over and over again. I personally do not believe that evil is getting more prominent in our world. I personally believe you're hearing more about it. Especially when you're watching news 24/7. Which, by the way, I don't think there's any need for that. Instead of watching news 24/7, I think you could spend some time with God, couldn't you? And it might show you a different thing going on in the midst of the world. If we concentrate on the weeds that are always growing, and we never see the wheat, what's going to happen? If we always concentrate on the weeds and we never see the wheat, there's a lot of good stories around. There's a lot of good things that God's doing in the midst of this world. There are a lot of good things that God is doing in the midst of our country, in our state, in our county, in our town, and in our church. There are a lot of good things going on. Amen? A lot of good things. Now you can spend your time concentrating on the wheat, and that's what these servants did in the midst of the story. But look at what Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us that when we're trying to destroy the weeds, we will also destroy the faithful. When we are trying to destroy the weeds, we will also destroy the faithful. Think about that. When bad rumors and bad gossip and bad things When all that keeps getting talked about, bad rumors, bad gossip, when all that is happening over and over and over again, what kind of atmosphere does that produce? It produces a very negative atmosphere, doesn't it? So that when I watch the news and listen to these commentators, these talking heads, these pundits, these gurus that think they know the answers to everything, and they keep talking about this being negative and this being negative and this being negative, what happens? We all get this sense that what's going on in the midst of the world is all evil. And somewhere we've got to hide in a corner to keep away from it. Folks, there's a lot of positive things going on. And if we focus on the negative, we will destroy the faithful at the same time. It's just as though if we went out into that field and pulled up all the weeds, while the two are intermixed, it's going to destroy that wheat crop. It's going to destroy it. Jesus doesn't want us focusing on those things. Jesus wants us focusing on the positive things. And then notice what Jesus tells us. If we're not focused on the weeds, but on the wheat, Jesus tells us God will take care of the evil at the proper time. God will take care of the evil at the proper time. If we try to take care of the weeds, the negative things in the world, the evil in the world, if we try to do all of that, we're doing God's job. And God is the one who can do that. Jesus, in a very quiet way, is also trying to tell us that we don't have all the information we need to separate the wheat from the weeds. And that sometimes we make the wrong choice. And in the process of trying to get rid of the weeds, we destroy what good crop there is. It's not about focusing on the negative of the world, guys. It's not about looking deep into how do we take care of that evil and how do we get the government to legislate it. Have you ever noticed that legislation doesn't always work? How many years in this country have we had a law that says, do not murder? It's worked real well, hasn't it? How many times in this country have we had a law that says, do not steal? So everybody gets the idea and nobody steals, right? It's not what I see happening. Folks, if we let God take care of the evil that's happening in the world, it will be taken care of at the proper time, in the right way, and I don't need to be making judgments about how to take care of those things. So what is it that I need to focus on? We need to center on those who seek to grow closer to God. The ones who are willing to be part of the kingdom. We need to center on those who seek to be closer to God. The ones who are willing to be part of the kingdom of God. And here's the incredible, wonderful thing that can also happen when we do that. Some of those weeds that we thought were weeds turn into wheat. God can bring about that incredible transformation in people's lives. It happened for me when I was a 19-year-old. And God turned some weeds into wheat. And there were some people that were willing to focus on the wheat, not on the weeds. And that's why I grew in my faith. Because they were willing to spend time with me and talk to me and help me. Sometimes churches can be very good about birthing someone into the kingdom of God and then not so good about helping them grow. You hear me? Sometimes churches are really good about birthing people into the kingdom of God and then they're not so good about helping them grow. You see, we need to be focusing on those folks who want to grow closer to God. Those folks who are seeking God. Those folks that hearts God has already opened up and planted something inside of it. I'm trying to learn a new growing season. And it's not easy for me. I come all the way from the coast in that town that y'all pronounce way differently than I do. I grew up in Norfolk. I don't know how you pronounce it. Some of you pronounce it totally different and wrong, by the way. Actually, I grew up right on the, almost on the city lines between Virginia Beach and Norfolk. And my grandfather, for years and years and years, had a tremendous garden. He lived in the midst of the city, but there was an empty lot next to him, about a half a house empty lot, that the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel owned, but they would not sell to him. But they didn't mind what he did with it. So he had a garden on a whole half a house lot. And then further down the hill, he had even more garden. I'm sure when they pushed the house over in about 1997, there were tons of cans of tomatoes and string beans and pickles and everything else that Grandma had put up in the attic. I wasn't there, so I assume they got it all out before they pushed the house over. But there were always hundreds of different things. Because we as a family lived off of that half a lot for all of our vegetables. And my grandfather's goal every year was to have fresh, ripe tomatoes on his birthday, July 4th. He had to have one fresh and ripe from his garden, not from the store. And I don't know what my problem is, but I've yet to get a ripe tomato off my plants. I know we're in a different growing season here than what I was used to. I know it's completely different because I put the tomatoes in and they stayed like this for a month and a half. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You should have tomatoes on you by now. Yes, you should. And they should be starting to turn ripe. I think I have some help in the neighborhood. And that's one of the reasons I'm not getting my tomatoes. Because I think there's some kind of creature that jumps over the fence and waits until, I don't know if you guys know how to make green fried tomatoes. I've met a lot of people that love them. I've met a lot of people that are never going to eat one. And I'm sorry for those of you that won't eat one. But you wait until that tomato, it's not green, it starts to turn a little white and come up from the bottom. That's when you pick it for green fried tomatoes. That's when it tastes the best. And that creature that jumps over the fence likes them before they're fried. And my wife said, well, we can put a fence up around this and you're liable to get some tomatoes out of this. And I said, as long as they'll share, I'm okay. But it looks like they're not going to share. It's still fun to grow them. It's still fun to wait for them and to look at them. And now I tend to think there's more than they can eat in one night. So I might be able to get a few in a week or so here because I'm watching them. You see, the servants were watching the wheat and the weeds. And they were concerned about what was going on there. And they were concerned with what was happening. And Jesus wanted to say, you need to focus on the good things. You need to help that wheat grow. You need to do everything you can to encourage that kind of growth. And don't worry about the weeds. God will take care of the weeds at the right time. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to help people grow closer to Jesus Christ. Not to point out everything that Satan's doing in the world. Because I can destroy the whole kingdom when that happens. So I leave you with this question. Do you need to change your focus to encouraging and helping disciples? Do you need to change your focus to encouraging and helping disciples? That's where our focus should be. That's where our concerns should be. Because there's a lot of people out there in our world that want to know God better, but they don't know how to do it. I didn't know how to accept Jesus Christ until I was 19. But yet, from an early age, there was something in my heart that wanted to grow closer to God. And it wasn't until somebody came and helped me that I knew what to do. Folks, are we helping the wheat? Are we being encouraging? Are we reaching out and helping those who truly want to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And not focusing on the weeds. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much going on in our world where they truly do want us to focus on the negative things of this world. And I truly believe that that is one of the ways that our enemy gets us so caught up so that we're not effective for the kingdom of God. Lord, we can't focus on those things. We've got to focus on the positive. We've got to focus on the great places where you are already doing a work and the wheat is growing in an incredible way. We need to focus on those young plants that so much need tender, loving care. We need to focus on your kingdom, that it might grow and it might expand. So we pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts to find ways to do that. That you would open our eyes to see where we can put in a good word. That you would open our ears to hear where there are needs that we can meet. And that you would open our hearts that we might have the love that you have for this world. Because, Lord, we know as we read Scripture that your heart is for all to be saved and for all to grow into a wonderful wheat plant that produces 30, 60, and 100-fold time and time and time again. So please, guide us how to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.